Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Timothy Goh, and we've had a number of updates again out of Malaysia today. Malaysia reporting over 17,000 new COVID-19 cases. We've also seen Malaysia's Prime Minister said a motion to debate and annul Malaysia's COVID-19 emergency ordinances will be tabled in the upcoming Parliament meeting.
And all that on the backdrop of the calls for the resignation of Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin as well, which is intensifying after that damaging conflict or confrontation with the country's king.
Joining us on the line to give us his analysis and thoughts on the latest news, we're joined by Pushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. Pushan, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pushan, let's start off with, as Timothy's just mentioned, the public rebuke of Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin by the king. How unusual was this?
So just for background, Malaysia is a constitutional monarchy where the king has largely ceremonial powers. Mm-hmm. But the king's assent is needed for major decisions like the one like invoking emergency powers, revoking them. Now, this is not the first time that the king has intervened. This is actually the second time. This happened last year in September as well, when Anwar Ibrahim made a play for the parliamentary majority. So to react to that, the prime minister proposed an emergency that would have suspended the parliament with national elections postponed. So the king rejected the emergency rule, and there was a joint statement by the conference of rulers. And that actually was the first time something unprecedented happened in Malaysian political history, and it was widely seen as a rebuke of the prime minister. Now, the king's recent rebuke is along the same lines. The king actually wants the emergency measures to be debated by the parliament, and the latest news just shows that the prime minister has actually given in to this pressure, that, you know, this debate in parliament is aligned with the Malaysian constitution. The prime minister, on the other hand, is using the pandemic in a political way to show that he's a savior of the Malaysian people, and he wants to skirt the normal political process. But now, latest news shows that this has not been possible for him to do.
Pushan, let's talk about what the opposition parties and lawmakers can do, given that parliament is now suspended.
So they should think about what is it that the prime minister fears the most. The prime minister actually fears really holding a vote on the revocation of the state of emergency, because this could reveal a fatal political weakness. Either it could expose that Prime Minister Muhyiddin lacks a majority support in parliament for such a vote, or it could see introduction of further motions, including a motion of no confidence. What the opposition party should do is to relentlessly build up pressure by trying to unify on this matter. Now, both Anwar and Mahathir gave speeches at the Independence Square. Mahathir actually even called on the king to dismiss the prime minister. So the longer the opposition persists, the weaker will be the prime minister's position. It's also going to be hard for the prime minister to continually oppose the king, because the king has good popular support. So a combination of popular discontent and opposition unity is going to be the key to their success.
But if there's no parliamentary session, can they table a motion of no confidence?
I don't think so. I don't think their constitution would allow to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be that easy for them to do this. Right. We have seen that in the last few years, the opposition parties have struggled to build a coalition that commands a majority in parliament. And it's this disunity amongst the opposition that allows the prime minister to limp on, you know, till the COVID cases go down. And hopefully he hopes to hold the elections, COVID cases go down, and sort of get a political boost from that.
Okay, Pushan, but just a couple of hours ago, Prime Minister Muhyiddin announced that the cabinet would discuss holding a debate in parliament in September to repeal emergency virus laws. What are your thoughts on this? Too little, too late?
So again, you know, there are multiple steps here. First, the cabinet will discuss this motion on Wednesday, and then they will have to think about, are they going to hold a session of the parliament or not. So the situation still is quite fluid, and it is really hard, if not impossible, to forecast how things will evolve with any degree of confidence. So I all that we can do is basically wait and see, you know, what are the other steps that both the opposition parties and the Prime Minister takes in the meantime.
We're speaking to Bhushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD, about the situation in Malaysia. Professor, with the calls getting louder for the Prime Minister to step down, and if there is a change in Prime Minister, what do you think about UMNO suggesting the Deputy Prime Minister, Ismail Sabri Yaakob, as a contender? Is he a strong contender for the position?
So I'm not sure, because, you know, the UMNO itself is sort of not united, right? Parts of the UMNO backs the current Prime Minister, and they're thinking of the Deputy Prime Minister as a consensus candidate. As ever, Anwar Ibrahim remains a perpetual contender for the post. Now, it's been 3 decades since he's been a contender for Prime Minister, but this post has always been out of reach. At the same time, Mahathir, while he's too old to be a serious contender, he does have ambitious son. So there are, again, lots of moving parts in the air, and we will just have to wait and see how these alliances happen. And, you know, if we just look what's going on today, all the political parties are talking to every other group. For instance, Anwar Ibrahim is actually talking to Najib, who has been sentenced to prison but is out on bail. They're horse trading at every opportunity. So very hard to predict.
So let's shift now to the economy, Bhushan. How have these political factors and also the government's handling of the COVID-19 situation impacted the Malaysian economy?
So I think in the short term, this kind of, you know, political mess is not going to have a huge impact. You know, the central bank is, you know, doing its job, and it's doing an excellent job in Malaysia. Now, Malaysia's economy is projected to grow at about 4.5% in 2021, but this forecast was made before the Delta variant surge. A good comparison is India. India had its own brutal wave of Delta variant, and this shaved off about 1.5 percentage points from the growth forecast. So Malaysia's growth numbers are also likely to be below the 4.5% forecast. But there is one reason to be optimistic. Malaysia, like Singapore, is very export-oriented, and the world seems to be recovering strongly. So today we are seeing a resurgence in demand for electronic products, for oil and natural gas. There's a surge in commodity prices. These are the core export sectors which will help Malaysia achieve an export-led rebound. The services sector is still under stress because of the severe lockdown that continues to take place. And keep in mind that the service sector is more than 50% of the GDP.
Okay, Bhushan. Well, always good to end on an optimistic note. Thank you again for joining us today to share your analysis on the current political and COVID-19 situation in Malaysia.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Bhushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.